You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
You know, it's probably very, very obvious to our listeners. I mean, we've been doing this podcast for a long time now, and this is our 165th episode, not including certain specials that we've done here and there. And it's hard to get going. It's hard to start the podcast when you're great friends with your co-host, because we were supposed to start like a half an hour ago, 40 minutes ago.
And we've been jabbering this whole freaking time about a whole lot of random nonsense because we needed to catch up, man. Things have happened since we last talked.
It's funny because regardless of us texting each other every day, whenever we start a podcast every week and we actually see each other's faces, we're like, oh, what's been going on? Yeah.
Right. We do it every freaking week. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
You know, like, because we're such good friends and we have so many friends of the network, we thought we would update you guys on some of our side projects that are going on, because we know that you're fans of Trek.fm and you're fans of us, you're fans of our show. So, you know, we wanted to kind of give you a peek into other things that are going on right now. And but don't worry, we do have a topic. We have a top five moment topic, and we'll get to that very soon.
Yeah, but we started this last week. This whole thing about what's kind of going on, other things happening in our lives. It was a little more Trek-centric last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about the Strange New Worlds contest. Yeah.
That's right. Have you heard anything? Can you give us an update?
No!
Ah! They're killing me, Holmes!
I know. It's been 12 or 13 days past the date that they promised.
Oh, murder!
This on or around BS that's going on is...
they're milking
it. They're pushing the limits, because they could have sent us an email saying, hey, just so you know, we had to extend the date, or we got a lot of entries. It's going to be another month, or it's going to be a couple of weeks. But no, we didn't get that. And it's just so frustrating. So yeah, that's one of the things that's going on, is where, you know, like I wrote an entry, and last week, I didn't know that you actually read the finished product. You let me know that last week.
I did. And we can talk about that more later on after the show if you want.
I'd love to know what you think. And also, I'd like to take this moment to say to everyone that I've been trying to... I posted this on Twitter. I posted this on StarTrek.com. For those of you, including most likely myself, who don't win, I want you to contact me. Find me. I want you to... You can find me on Twitter, at The Insane Robin, or you can email me at contact@thenerdparty.com. I want to try to get as many people as I can who didn't win the contest and don't have an avenue to post their stories. I will try to find a way to post it for you.
Nice. Make a nice, like, the big compilation.
Yeah, I want to make a Strange New Worlds reject edition.
That's better than all the losers.
It's I want to be able to make a compilation. I would not profit off of this. I'm not trying to, like, I wouldn't be printing it anywhere. I wouldn't put advertising anywhere. This would just be me trying to give you guys an opportunity to post. Like, for those of you, I know everybody has a blog, but if I'm going to try to make this kind of a directory, so that if we get enough people who post, it might become a little bit of a destination, and then you might get a little bit of exposure, and I'm not asking for anything in return. Nothing in return.
You're doing it just to kind of create that central location where everybody who's interested in the Strange New Worlds stories, they can go there, and it's the one-stop shop.
Absolutely. Exactly. Right.
Cool. Cool. Now, side note, there's nothing in the rules saying you can't do this, correct?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, if you submit an entry, it doesn't mean that they own that entry.
The only thing that
they own is if you're a winner and you sign a confidentiality, not a confidentiality agreement, but if you sign a contract. No, none of us have actually signed a contract yet.
Right. Okay. Just wanted to clarify. All right. So, yeah. So that's not the only side project you've been doing. In fact, you've got a big side project that's going right now, and that would be the Nerd Party.
That's right, the Nerd Party at thenerdparty.com. We are a full-fledged network, and I've talked about this a little bit before on the show, but we wanted to update people on what's going on in our lives and everything like that. It's going up like gangbusters. It is really, we are getting the downloads, we're getting the listeners, we're getting the subscriptions way faster than I ever thought we would, and it's really pleasing to see that people have responded so positively to what we're doing. And we have three shows on there, two of which I'm hosting on, co-hosting on. We have The Senate Floor, which used to be just called The Nerd Party, but then we changed the name once we decided that was going to be the name of the network. We didn't, because, you know, there's The Ready Room. It's not called Trek.fm, you know?
Right.
And
right.
And that's, I host that show with Matt Hansen. We've been doing that together for years. And we've been having a rotating guest on with every other week. Lee Hutchison has been guesting on that. And they call those shows the filibuster. So we kind of have like a show within a show. And then, of course, we have Aggressive Negotiations, which is hosted by our own Matt Rushing and John Mills.
Familiar people, familiar names on the network.
It's a Star Wars podcast. And it's not like a movie review podcast. What did you think of that trailer? Or what did you think of Force Awakens? It's really esoteric stuff. Like, you know, like, what do you think about the relationship between an apprentice and a master? You know, like, it's filled with really cool stuff like that. And I guess you should go back and talk about Senate Floor a little bit more. Like, that's a general geek podcast. That's where we do movie reviews.
Yeah.
We love doing our top five lists like we do on this show, where, like, I think, like, Lee and I just got done doing our top five favorite fictional politicians that we've seen on screen.
Yes.
You know, stuff like
and
that.
And I love that you covered all of my favorites.
Well,
from
I'm glad
Frank Underwood to Dave. I loved it.
I'm so surprised that Lee had never heard of or seen Dave before.
It's
I
so
love
sad.
That movie.
It's a tragedy because that's such a great movie.
Such a great movie. Anybody who hasn't seen the movie Dave with Kevin Kline, check it out. Rent it. It's fantastic.
Yes.
I love 90s movies so much, especially 90s comedies.
They're so great.
And then we have Nerd Nuptial, which is a show that I host with my wife, aka The Girl. And that show is doing quite well. I mean, we've gotten massive amounts of reviews and ratings in a very short amount of time. We've been on the new and noteworthy list on iTunes every single week since we started.
Yeah, that's so amazing. And you just keep climbing up in the rankings. I mean, every few days you tell me that you've moved up a notch, and it just keeps going and going. And kudos to you guys, because it's a great podcast. You deserve all of the acknowledgement that you're getting. It's just amazing how much and how fast it has all taken off.
It's been a whirlwind. It's really weird because I never expected this to be this way, but it just goes to show how much of a natural podcaster my wife is. She was so resistant to do this.
And
then
I know. And she was holding back on us this whole time. She is a natural. She stepped right in there. No bumps at all. And you two, of course, you have great chemistry. So it's fun to listen to you guys. And it's a nice glimpse into just your lives together. And it's very sweet. I love it.
Well, I appreciate that. And thank you very much for the kind words. And like, my wife is one of those annoying people who, if she tries to do something, she'll excel at it. And no matter what it is.
I hate people like that.
I know. It's really annoying. If we're at the arcade, she will whoop my butt at skee ball or, you know, like a shooter game or Mario Kart, whatever it is. She will she'll kill me. And that's just a microcosm of it. And also, I just found out actually a couple days ago, and we even rose a little bit higher in the rankings now. We were in the top 200 of TV and film out of every podcast.
Uh-huh.
And now we're in the top 150.
Woo! Look at you.
In the category of TV and film. That's out of all of the podcasts. That's out of all of them.
That is crazy. That's even better than To the Journey. I'm a little jealous.
And guys, I'm not trying to brag here by saying, look at me. What I'm trying to say is you guys are awesome, because I know that To the Journey listeners have been a huge part of the Nerd Party's success.
Totally. A lot of kind of cross listeners who listen to this mm-hmm. show have listened to Nerd Party and vice versa. And it's awesome because we have a very good, loyal listener base on this show. And it seems like anything that we do, people want to know more or hear more or see more. And man, I can't appreciate that enough. I never would have thought in a million years that anybody would give a crap about anything that I do in my own little corner mm-hmm. of the world. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Now we have an audience around the whole world. And the fact that you guys listen to us every single week, that still just blows me away. And I could not be more grateful.
And also, I just want to take this moment and talk about how I am constantly looking for new talent. I'm constantly looking for people who want to start their own podcast. And, you know, if you're interested in doing this, if you're interested in doing what Char and I do, come and find me. Come and talk to me. Because if you just want to ask me questions, ask Char questions about how to get started in a podcast, or what you need, what type of mic, even as simple as what type of mic you need, or what service is good online, because you know, it took us a long time to figure out what's a good hosting service. You know, like what's a good website to use. You know, like we've done this research, so use this as a resource. And also, you know, the Nerd Party is always expanding, and we're always looking for new shows. And so, if you're interested in starting something new, that's another reason to come and talk to me.
Totally. Yeah, and just to kind of forewarn people who maybe want to get into podcasting or do podcasting more, understand that it is a commitment and we don't make a dime off of any of this. It's got to be a hobby. You have to want to do it. It's not easy. It might seem easy, but I don't know about you, Tristan. I learned this as I went. And so it takes a lot of time to get to the point where we are right now, where we sit down and we're having a conversation with an old friend. It's very natural. It's a lot of fun. It just doesn't happen overnight, though.
Yeah, your first episode is going to suck. You are going to suck.
As you should. Think about anything you do in life. Except for your wife, who's brilliant at everything. and those a-hole people who are just like that, with the rest of us, have to work our way up to a certain amount of skill.
It's a commitment. It's a hobby. We don't make a dime off of it. Every single penny that comes towards the network gets put back into the network.
And speaking of which, the way that you guys can help us is by becoming a subscriber on Patreon. We rely entirely on our listeners to help keep us afloat. Go to patreon.com/trekfm. And if you're not a monthly subscriber already, please consider doing so. If you like what we do, we appreciate everything that people can give us, because without it, the network just poof, it goes away. That's it. We can't do this on our own anymore. And on TTJ, especially, we want to thank our associate producers because they are specifically reaching out and saying, we like TTJ. And so we want to thank them for being awesome and loving us. We want to love them back. And so those people are Aaron Harvey, Jamie Deuce, Kenneth Tripp, Bruce Lish, and Dante Hopkins. So thank you guys very much. We do appreciate you very much.
Absolutely. Now, Char, we've talked a lot about me and the Nerd Party at thenerdparty.com. Where can we find some of your stuff? Because I want to know where I can buy some of your handmade products.
Let's talk about me for a little while. I make handmade products. It's called Profane Handmade Products. It's a little business venture that I started toward the end of last year. And it's started out very small with, you know, about $100 invested in buying products and just a couple of different scents of body wash and lotion recipes. And I've been playing around trying to refine these things as much as possible. I've sent out a couple of samples to friends saying, hey, what do you think about this? Is it good? And the reason why I started this in the first place was because since we moved out to California, I've not been making a whole lot of money. I've been doing freelance work here and there. And I thought one way that we can really cut back on money is if we don't buy a whole lot of like bath and body products, things like deodorant mm-hmm. and body wash, body lotion. At $5 or so a pop, if not more, that adds up fast. I mean, those are products you use on a daily basis. And so I thought if I just put in a little bit of the money to make them on my own, it's going to stretch a lot longer and it's going to cost a lot less in the long run. And so I was doing it just for myself, but then I thought, you know, I'm really enjoying this. I really enjoy the process of making the products, developing them, coming up with fun scents. I really love playing with that. And I like working with my hands. I like physical work. And so I thought, what if I could sell these? So I asked around a little bit and there was a response. And I've got to say, it's been successful. I mean, It seems like every day I'm having some sort of interaction, either actually making a product, sending it out, people favoriting my shop. I have an Etsy shop. And so every little day just seems like we're going up a staircase and we're going up one step more. And so I can't thank everybody who has supported my little venture enough for whether it's been spreading the word or buying the products or giving me some honest feedback on what they like and what they don't like, because that only makes my products better. And if you're listening and say, where can I find these products already? Let me tell you, go to profanehandmade.com. That is my website right now. It's just an okay website. It's sort of a placeholder for getting a more functioning website up and running, but it's functional. Or you can go on Etsy and search Profane Handmade products for the shop. And I sell body wash, body lotion, and bath bombs in a variety of scents. I would like to think at this point it's expanded enough to where I have something for everybody. But if there is something specifically that you want, I'm always willing to entertain scent suggestions or product suggestions. I am trying to ramp up and do another season of YouTube tutorials where I will do it my drunk kitchen style, where I drink as I do them for the very first time. And as you can imagine, nothing goes wrong ever. So those are kind of fun. And it's a way to promote the product a little bit. And that it also kind of helps me develop new products as well. And so it's a lot of fun. I am going to bring those back. I'm going to do it a little more organized this time, though, than I did last time. The first 10 I did, I just jumped right in. I just thought, okay, let's just do this. I needed to get the business off the ground because it was just before the holidays. That's perfect buying time, right? So mm-hmm. I had to get it going, and I was on the seat of my pants just trying to churn out a couple videos every week or so, and finally ran out of steam and decided at 10 I was going to round that off. And so the next 10 are going to be planned. I'm going to shoot them in advance, so then that way I have some time to edit and make them good. Give him a little more production value and go from there. So now that I've talked for way too long of a time, just help me out and buy some body wash. I'd love to make it for you. Now, all of those things said, those are our side projects. Those are things that we are doing outside of the Star Trek world and this podcast land, if you will. But guess what? We ought to do this show.
We ought to go to our topic.
Yeah, we mentioned, I think, like half an hour ago that we had a topic. We ought to get to that.
We here at To The Journey deliver. So here is a delivery of our top five. What we're doing is our top five favorite relationship moments between Janeway and Seven of Nine.
Yes. Now, these relationship moments are not necessarily romantic pairings, because we have covered Tom and Harry and Neelix and Tuvok, and I know that there's definitely relationshippers out there who see potential for Seven and Janeway, although it never actually came to fruition. But there's a lot of subtext that people can interpret as subtle relationship moments. I don't know how many of those are going to get into our top five or not. I'm kind of curious to know what your choices are. As I was saying in the mess hall before we got started, I feel like there's some really big select moments. There's just a handful of them, and then there's a whole lot of little moments. And so I'm dying to know, Tristan, what is your first pick for a top five? This is your top five, your bias, your selection, not necessarily objectively the best, but in your opinion, what are you going to kick us off with? Let's do this.
In no particular order, what I'm going to kick us off with is from the episode Hope and Fear. And that
Nah,
is
you? Seven.
I know. It's so shocking. It's so surprising. But it is it's the opening of the episode with Seven of Nine and Janeway playing Velocity.
Mm. Okay, I love that moment. I consider that one of the smaller moments, but it's great. It's got some good dialogue.
Yeah, I love that because Seven is superior physically in every single way. And because of what the Borg gave her, I mean, she has better stamina, she has better strength. It's just, you know, you can chalk that up to being Borg. And
yep.
Janeway keeps winning, and Seven is clearly frustrated. And she's just like, why do you keep winning? And then Janeway says, intuition. And I just love that she says that. She's like, call it intuition. You know, that's the thing, is that like she just guessed, essentially, of where the disc was going to be, and that's where it was. And
yeah.
Because she... knows the game. She knows herself. She knows her phaser. And I just love seeing phaser-based games in Star Trek. I mean, I think the only other time that we saw that was in Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, I think so.
It shows the kind of combative relationship that they actually have, where they like spending time with each other enough to play a game together, but at the same time, it's argumentative because Seven is so competitive, and Janeway actually has to call her out on it by saying, it's,
right,
you know,
and she does,
all right,
yeah,
we're done. You know, don't be a sore loser or something to that effect.
Right. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that because it's sort of mentor and mentee in combat, and mentor has to kind of draw that line. All right, back off. We're done now.
Yeah, we're done now.
As Janeway's had to do several times, and this is just another way that it comes out. It's slightly different and yet very much the same because we see a lot of this between the two. That's a very good pick.
And I think that's why I really like this relationship. And guys, as Char said at the beginning of this, is that these are not relationshipper moments. Char and I have been very vocal about how we do not ship Janeway and Seven.
Yeah, I'm afraid not. Slash Fickers, we're going to disappoint you greatly, although I may have one thing up my sleeve in this episode.
Yeah, it's just, but we're not saying, like, you cannot feel that way. We're not saying you shouldn't feel that way. We're not saying that in the least. We're just saying that Char and I particularly don't feel that way. And we've made our thoughts on that very known about how it's the mentor-mentee relationship that shouldn't be abused in a sexual nature. And so that's why I really like Velocity, is because even though they're having fun, Janeway uses it as a teaching moment.
Of course she does, because that's what Janeway does.
That's what Janeway does. And it's like, even if Harry was there, she would have done the same thing.
It's true. It's true. Although, would Harry have been a sore loser? I don't know. He probably would have pouted a little bit.
I think his sucking upness would probably kick in when he's just like, wow, Captain, you're so good.
Yeah, you're probably right. Wow, boy, you really know how to work that thing. Ugh, I'm whipped.
It'd be a lot more fun playing this game if I was a lieutenant junior grade, but yeah. You know, whatever. It's okay.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool, I swear. Yeah. Well, on the lines of hope and fear, my first pick is from this episode as well. So this is the one that I will start my list off with. And that's toward the end of the episode where Seven tells Janeway that she's grateful for her individuality. I mean, let's be honest, this could have kind of gone either way because the episode kind of likes to present the case a little bit where Seven, she's still at a point where individuality is very difficult for her. Going back to the collective is a very real possibility, but here, this shows that deep down, when it really comes down to it, Seven is embracing her individuality, even when faced with joining the collective, and that's a huge victory for Janeway, who took that huge risk at bringing her on board in the first place. It's sort of a little bit of a payoff for Janeway, like, hey, I really have reached her a little bit here.
Now, is this the scene where they were captured by Arcturus and they're trying to get out of the force field?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's on my list as well. That, like, I had two from Hope and Fear, and that was, that's the other one on my list.
Hope and Fear is a big, big one for these two.
Yeah, it really, I think it's one of the greatest Seven episodes out there, like Seven alone, not just Seven and Janeway together. And I just love, you know, some of the lines that are written in here and how they're delivered. And it's, you know, when she talks about, she's like, yeah, my desire to remain in the Delta Quadrant was based on fear. I'm no longer Borg, but the prospect of becoming human is unsettling. I don't know where I belong. And then Janeway says, you belong with us. You know, it's just a really nice moment.
It is. It is a very good moment for both of them individually, but then also together.
Mm-hmm.
As this constant, I guess, sparring force. Something like that. Well, let's take it to the step two.
Step two. Well, my second one, kind of third one, since you stole my second one from Hope and Fear.
Sorry.
The next one on my list is from The Gift.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We might have another duplicate.
Yeah, it's hard not to talk about this moment. You know, it's hard not to talk about when Seven is in the brig.
Yeah.
You know, Janeway goes and talks to Seven. She still has her implants on. She's looking a little bit more human. She has a little bit more pink in her skin. And she's getting her color back. And she just, like, we open up the scene. She's in the brig and she just goes, one. You know, like, just one voice. She just can't stand it. She says, I cannot function this way. She's I cannot function alone. And, you know, she says, I need to be with my own kind. And Janeway's like, you are with your own kind. Humans, you're here with us. We're humans. And, like, Seven literally tells Janeway, I will kill you.
Yep. I mean, that's not threatening at all.
Yeah. No, like, she literally threatens her. And Janeway gives this great line of, one voice can be stronger than 1,000 voices. And she talks about cutting through the noise. And even, like, you know, like, some people might argue with this, saying, like, oh, you should give the patient what they want. You know, she wants to go back, so we should let her go back. But the thing is, that choice, that individuality was robbed from her. She was not given the choice to not be an individual.
Right. Especially being assimilated at such a young age. She's never really known human existence beyond a very brief, abbreviated childhood.
Yeah, she has no memory of it. And this was a very, very powerful moment. And this was the beginning of everything. Like, this was...
Yeah.
This wasn't the first time Janeway spoke with Seven, of course. But this was the first time that Janeway and Seven really start to speak to each other as mentor-mentee.
Yes, that's exactly what I have in my notes, too, is that this is a monumental moment because it establishes what this relationship is going to be like. This is Janeway's new project. Tommy's doing great, kid's all right, so Janeway needs to move on and have somebody else to nurture. It ends up being Seven. And right. Boy, has she got a long road ahead of her. But Janeway lets her know that Seven is not going to have to do this on her own. She has a whole ship full of people who are willing to help make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's very important for that reason.
All right, what else is on your list?
Well, how about when the two are sparring star dates in Conspiracy? I mean, this is quick work for Seven. This is toward the end. This is the episode, by the way, where Seven starts downloading Voyager's data into her brain while she's supposed to be sleeping in her alcove, and overloads her brain and suddenly starts thinking there's some weird things going on as for, I don't know, the timing of things. And she starts to believe that there's conspiracies going on between the command team and other little things that seem a little bit beyond coincidence if you look at them just the right way. And so she starts to instill a little bit of distrust amongst other people. Now, the particular thing that I'm going for in this episode is that not only is Seven spewing a whole bunch of stardates out at Janeway, blah, 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 stardate, blah, 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 you did this and that and blah, 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 and the Janeway is spewing them right back, which I find quite impressive. I mean, she's just, you know, returning it right back. And this is where Janeway convinces Seven to trust her again. Not an easy feat. But if anybody can do it, Janeway can.
Yeah.
So there's something about this scene I really like.
I completely forgot about this scene because when I think of the episode The Voyager Conspiracy, I
think... It's The Voyager Conspiracy, not Conspiracy. That was TNG. Thank you.
I think everybody knew what you meant.
Yeah, thank you.
That moment was really, really nice. Just not only because of the emotional aspect, but also because I am thoroughly impressed that they can memorize star dates. Because if you told me what was the date you first met this friend of yours, I'd be like, I have no idea. I don't even know what year I met them in, and they got the star date down to the point.
Right. Yeah, very specific here. Now, I understand really that specific. The writers are writing this for them, but still.
It's impressive.
It is. It is, yes. Which means, obviously, that there are very memorable moments between these two. Not just beyond the fact that Seven is kind of a walking computer core, and apparently Janeway has really good memory, too.
That's true. Yeah, that's actually a good point, where not only do Starfleet officers just have great memories, these are important dates to them. This is an important date to Janeway. This is an important date to Seven. So I think that's a solid point, Char.
Yeah, that's how our human memory works. I mean, the stuff that really matters to us resonates a lot more. It's a lot stronger. It lasts a lot longer. And the stuff that doesn't matter quite so much, eventually it just goes away. And then there's the things that we forget and we wish we remembered. Or want to forget on the other flip side. But hey, it's fallible. I consider memory to be like a hard drive. You put a fact in, eventually, one's got to go out. You've only got so much you can hold in there. All right. So, what's your next one?
My next one is from Message in a Bottle, another great episode and one that it I is. Really, really like. There's not a lot of Seven moments in this, but there is one in particular that is fantastic between Seven and Janeway, and that is when Seven shocks the Hirogen.
I don't remember this very much. Please continue.
You don't remember? Oh, so what happens was is that they're, you know, as you know, they sent the Doc into the Alpha Quadrant, a part of the Hirogen network.
Yeah.
And they the Hirogen found out that the Voyager was using the network, and they got pissed about it. You know, Torres is trying to regain connection, and then the Hirogen pops up on the screen, and in the Astrometrics you have Janeway, Torres, and Seven, and they're talking to the Hirogen, and they try to explain to him what they're doing, and he's like, no explanations. You're like, I warned you, you know, like, you cannot use our network, we're going to disconnect you. You know, he just was not listening to reason, and, you know, Janeway's pleading with him, saying there has to be some room for negotiation. And then all of a sudden, we see an energy beam hit the Hirogen. He starts screaming, and then he falls down.
Okay, now you jog my memory. I know this.
And then Janeway's like, what happened? And Seven says, I generated a feedback surge along our sensor link. Taurus is like, you killed him? And she goes, it was a mild shock. He will recover. And the look on Janeway's face was priceless. Because she was so, like, no pun intended, she was so utterly shocked that this happened that she couldn't believe her eyes. She couldn't, like, because if that was any other person, if Torres did it or Harry did it or Tom did it, she would have screamed, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, like, really? I didn't give you that order.
Yeah, but, like, with Seven, she's just chalking it up to a learning curve.
Right. Yeah, because Seven is not going to ask for permission to do something like that. She's just going to do it. Which is why, in part, they're so much at odds against one another.
And I think that's why I chose this moment. Not only is it funny, not only is it interesting, it kind of shows another dynamic where she understands where Seven is coming from, and she gives her a much looser leash.
She kind of does. I mean, sometimes. I think she makes Seven try harder. She expects more out of Seven, but at the same time, she is more willing to understand where Seven is coming from, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, she gives her a wide berth because she's like, you haven't been human that long. It's okay.
just don't ever do that again.
Yeah. What's next on your list?
All right, how about where in Mortal Coil, Janeway is sort of trying to entice Seven to socialize. Because Janeway goes over to Seven and Janeway asks, are you having fun? And Seven replies, no. Because Seven doesn't know what fun is, especially at this point. This is another season 4 episode. And Janeway has to know that this is a losing battle. But she tries anyway, because she's always pushing Seven to improve herself. And of course, Seven is going to fail horribly at making conversation. And she does when she goes to try and jump in with Samantha and the Doctor and starts talking about Borg maturation chambers, which frightens Samantha Wildman. And she suddenly has to go for some reason. Can't understand why. But it's kind of a cute scene where Janeway's trying to guide her. And we see a lot of these missteps of where Seven just... She tries, she puts in a valiant effort, but she's just not going to quite get it right off the bat. It's like what we were saying earlier about, you know, the first time you do something, you're going to suck at it. We definitely see this happen, especially in social regards, a lot. We see Seven do this a lot.
That moment always, for some reason, when she's not having a good time and she just kind of jumps in and tries to make conversation, it makes me think of how Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec reacts. In certain social situations, like, he was at an art gallery and he did not want to be there, and Leslie convinced him to make a speech, and he gets up there, he's like, everyone shut up and look at me, and then he says, you are here to view art. Some of these paintings are big, some paintings are small. Do not see this as an excuse to come and talk to me. End of speech. And I could see Seven doing that.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Love it. All right. Well, what is your next one?
This would be my last one. Last one is from Prey. This is the episode where they have Species 8472 being hunted by the Hirogen. It's a lone Species 8472. And in the end, You know, like Janeway and Seven have it out where Seven's like, oh, we should give it to the Hirogen. And Janeway's like, no, it's a sentient being. We're not going to send it to its death, you dumbass.
I would have loved to have heard Janeway say that. We're not going to send it to its death, you dumbass.
Yeah, and then Seven's like, no, you're the dumbass because we're going to die unless we do that. And then Janeway says, no, I'm the captain, so do what I say. But yeah. Then Seven does it anyway. When the crap hits the proverbial fan, she beams the species 8472 over to the Hirogen, and she saves the crew, but at the death of this sentient species. And so Janeway's having none of it. She stepped way too far. And I think this is one of those moments where Janeway admits that she gave her some liberties and some freedoms and everything like that, like the rest of the crew, but she kind of went back on that. And, you know, Janeway, you know, punishes her. Like she says, like, this is how it's going to be from now on. And I've lost a lot of trust. You know, like you and I have lost a lot of trust. And this, at the moment, what I'm about to talk about was really cool and groundbreaking for the character. But then it turns out that they had this conversation constantly. But at the time, this was the first time we heard it. And this is what Seven says. Seven says, it is puzzling. Janeway asks what. She says, you made me into an individual. You encouraged me to stop thinking like a member of the collective, to cultivate my independence and my humanity. But when I try to assert that independence, I am punished. Jane responds with, individuality has its limits, especially on a starship where there's a command structure. Then she says, I believe that you are punishing me because I do not think the way you do, because I am not becoming more like you. You claim to respect my individuality, but in fact, you are frightened by it. Now, this was a really cool moment, and it would have stayed cool if they didn't repeat it 7 more times throughout the show.
At least 7 more times. Right. No, this is really good, crisp dialogue. It shows the very heart of the struggle between these two, why it's so difficult. Well, for the both of them.
Yeah.
They both mean very well. They're both trying to help one another. But something is just there that is not going to make it work smoothly at all. And this really kind of lays it out on the line. This is the problem. This is the struggle. If you need to put it in a nutshell, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's your last one?
I think I'm going to go with a fun one. And that is, it's just a teeny moment. It's not a groundbreaking moment whatsoever. It's when Seven is helping Janeway attach her pips to her dress uniform and someone to watch over me. I mean, this is a very big Seven and Doctor episode, but there's this little thing. And I remember, though, how this moment got the Slash Vickers all riled up. And for good reason. For good reason. And I want to give the Slash Vickers a little bit of service here, because I know that they're out there. There's thousands, if not millions, of them. You could say that it's a sign that there's more than a friendship behind it, maybe. Or that it's just a good, solid friendship, however you want to interpret it. And I think regardless of the interpretation, the moment does stand out, probably because we just don't really see this sort of thing happen before. I don't know if we've seen it before. Definitely not since.
No, I don't think so.
So for whatever reason, that really did stand out in my mind as an important moment between the two, because there's clearly, despite all the conflict, friendship, a certain, I don't know if intimacy is the right word, but closeness.
Familiarity.
Yes. So that's what I'm going to go with. A very little moment, but a very memorable one and a very sweet one, a very cute one.
Well, I have an honorable mention. I just have one that I really want to mention. This did not make the list, but it needs to be mentioned. And you may call me a hypocrite, and I don't care.
Go for it.
This was a cool moment, but because you and I have talked at length about how we despise this aspect of Seven's character, but the introduction of it was a cool moment, and that is the cat suit.
Oh, yes.
In The Gift, the episode The Gift, we have that introduction where she has shed her Borg implants, most of them. She now has hair, she has full color, and I remember the shot where we start low on the ground, and the camera peds up and reveals, you know, from foot to head, we reveal what the outfit she's in and what she looks like. And I'm not praising the cat suit. I'm praising the moment where this is the individual that you saw in all of the promos and all the TV Guide interviews. This is the image that you saw plastered all over the internet and in Entertainment Weekly and everything like that. And this is the character that you're going to know for the next 4 years. This is the character that you're going to spend time with for the next 4 years. And it's the real introduction of Seven. Not Scorpion Part 2, but the gift is the real introduction of Seven.
Right. So I think this is the introduction of Seven, the individual.
Yes. Yes.
Or the person struggling for individuality and understanding all that entails.
There you go.
There we go. Cool. I want to put out one other honorable mention. And the reason why it's an honorable mention is because it's not any one particular moment necessarily. It's Janeway entrusting Seven to take care of things in the episode one, and Seven reassuring her that she can do it, that she's up to the task. And this is a huge milestone for these two characters because this shows that Seven cares about the crew and Janeway can trust Seven with the ship. An ex-Borg drone is now in charge of Voyager, and she gets things done. I mean, it drives her crazy, rightfully so, but it happens. So, big turning point. Got to throw that out there.
Yeah, I don't even think that that Janeway would leave the ship in charge with Tom. You know, I feel like she'd be like,
Tom would probably take a little too much time off, slack off a little bit, probably make a mess of the bridge. I don't blame her.
Yeah.
He would turn the view screen into a TV. That's what he would do, maybe.
He would turn the view screen into a TV and then try to give it wings on the side of the nacelles. You know?
Yeah, put a nice pinstripe. Something like that. Yeah, he would turn Voyager into a hot rod, among many other alterations that Janeway would not appreciate. As much as she loves Tom and as good as Tom is, she just knows she can't deal with that right now. No. She's too busy getting them home.
Well, that's it. That's our top five. That's our list. That's our honorable mentions. And we would love to hear what you guys think are the best Janeway/Seven relationship moments. Like, you can go to the Babel Conference on Facebook. You can talk to us in just our Facebook.com/Trek.fm and going to Trek.fm/contact and selecting To the Journey from the drop-down menu. That'll send us an email, or you can find us on Twitter. You can find me at The Insane Robin.
And you can find me at Oh the Profanity. And of course, like a lot of our top fives lists, these are not comprehensive by any means. I'm sure we missed some, so yes, let us know which ones you would nominate. All right, well, Janeway and Seven moments aren't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is going on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Orb.
I want to hear Worf give a command sometime, like, 1/4 ramming speed. And then someone says, Captain, regulation specifically states that we cannot go at 1/4 ramming speed while we are in orbit of a planet.
To the journey!
Let's say Voyager was going to a deep space mission. Is that wise for an endangered species to be going out here with the potential to be killed and then, of course, gets lost in the Delta Quadrant? I'm sure the Vulcans are going to love that.
The Ready Room.
You know, because he's appealing to the Ferengi side of Nog, which is still so much a part of who he is.
I'm glad he didn't offer him Umox, though.
Yeah, well, whoa. When you said he was going to shack up with Vic earlier, I was like, whoa, it didn't go that far.
The 602 Club. I feel like Men of Steel was a great groundwork to work from, and Batman v Superman, It had to build off of that, because if they didn't build off of Man of Steel, people would say, oh, they're trying to ignore perceived failure in the past. And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So this was a lot of fun. I always love it when we do our top five lists. It's one of my favorite things that we do, and we've come up with so many different combinations of ways to make lists that it simply blows my mind when I look at the episode list where we have comprehensively everything that we have done on this show. It's a little ridiculous, but at the same time, I love it. That said, though, we're going to return to another thing that I absolutely love. And what is that going to be, Tristan?
That is Essential Trek. We love doing Essential Trek. It is so much fun to do. And Essential Trek is where we take a season of television, we take a season of Voyager, and we go from episode one all the way down to the season finale and talk about what we think is essential to the overall story arc of Voyager and what is not essential.
Yeah, this is the last one.
This is the last one. This is season 7. We battle it out, but you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!